knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
When knights are around the table, we dance where we're able. We do routines and all the scenes, the footwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. When knights are around the table, our shows are for the table. The many times we give and rhyme to our quiet dancing table.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is Tuesday Running Round Table on Tuesday, the 19th of September. We have with us at the moment Jeff Nyquist. His website, jrnyquist.blog. Books for sale at Amazon. We lost Dave temporarily. I'm sure he'll get reconnected. And Dave Hodges. And we're expecting Steve Ben Noon to join us also. Jeff, for the time being, it's just you and me, sir.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I got a note here. Dave can only be with us the first hour anyway. Jeff, you're very patient listening to the various questions and dialogue going on. And although there's not all these issues have a communist beginning, many of them do have a communist beginning and are part of a communist agenda, aren't they, sir?
Oh, yeah. The more general problem of our civilization is that we don't seem to have common sense anymore. There's a radical stupidity that's taken over people, and it's everywhere. And it's, you know, you can't get a minority of people like the communists or various of these ideas. You can't get these crazy ideas to be adopted by the elite, by the wealthy, and by the government officials of a country, by the schools and universities, by the media and everyone. You can't get these things adopted unless the corruption of a radical stupidity has gone everywhere. It's not possible. So that means that you know, this is a symptom of a much deeper malaise, a much worse disease that's going on in us.
I agree. And we open lines. If you have a question or comment, just give us a call at 512-248-8255. Well, the war in Ukraine continues. Lots of real information, lots of disinformation. What updates on the war in Ukraine would you have for us today, Jeff, if any?
The Russian military has shown itself unable to adapt to modern warfare. It's still fighting World War II in its way of fighting. And this, the Ukrainians, despite their lack of resources, look, people talk about Ukraine bankrupting us or something. It's less than one penny of your tax dollar, much less than one penny of your tax dollar. You're being bankrupted by social spending, not by this. And I keep hearing people say, we're intervening. No, U.S. gives aid to all kinds of countries, but this country is under attack. Its cities are being knocked down. Its people are being destroyed by our enemy, by our common enemy, the Russians and the Chinese. And lots of people say the Russians aren't our common enemy. Well, they say they are. You just listen to Vladimir Putin and Medvedev and Shoigu and all the rest of the leaders there. And they're aligned with China. And China is coming after us. And that alignment goes back at least 30 years. It probably goes back to 1949, of course. But people don't, because of this radical stupidity, people don't ever connect any dots. They connect things to theories that they have about history and so on that are very, well, let's put it, questionable or not proven in any means, speculations that lead nowhere and come from nowhere. And this is what obsesses us now. As, you know, it's like most of the things people want to do to stop the problem is like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. We have a much bigger problem here. Our society, because of this radical stupidity, our society is profoundly disordered and becoming more and more disordered as it goes along. And the communists are just agents of the disorder. It's like, you know, when an animal dies, you know, you got flies that land on you and they're, you know, but it's not a problem. You're not going to sprout maggots, but if you're dead, you will. And the problem is there's some sense in which Western civilization must be dead, because where are these maggots coming from? Right.
Right. Well, it's amazing some of these things that take on, happen here, aren't they, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, I listened to Dave's discourse. I mean, he talked about a Senate bill, and they're going to tax us. They're going to raise $5 trillion in taxes. Yeah, over how much time? And the Senate doesn't originate spending bills. It has to originate in the House, and the House is controlled by the Republicans, and they're not going to raise taxes. So I don't understand what he's talking about. Maybe
he says it's already passed the House and the Senate and signed by the president, these new taxes. And all money spending authority comes from the House only. But I think taxation can originate either place.
No. Taxing, the power of the purse is the only by the House of Representatives.
Only by the House also.
The Senate cannot originate such bills, and the Senate may try to change the bill.
Right.
But it's not – now then it has to return to the House, and the House has to
– the taxing authority comes from the House as well.
Yeah.
Well, Jeff, we're now joined by Steve Bannoun. His website is IsraeliNewsLive.org. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, John.
Were you able to make contact with the person you wanted to make contact with this morning?
No, I will make that contact today, but they're tied up in meetings right now, so I was on hold hoping to get through before coming on, but was unsuccessful with that.
Okay. Well, you work with a group that studies ancient documents, including the original text of the Holy Bible, don't you, sir?
Yes, I get to. Well, I get to contribute from time to time. So they basically rely on research that I do independently. And so, sometimes they're really curious about certain issues in particular. But speaking of those things, yes, I have come across some very interesting ones here lately.
Anything you'd like to share with us?
Yet there's one in particular that I think is going to really, it's going to probably stir a lot of controversy. I did a video on it on Israeli News Live, and surprisingly, people were very receptive. It's called The Plan to Deceive Christians by the Millions. Now, even though it's got that name, it's not actually the I go into... Well, actually, there's a different video I did specifically on this. I forgot that one there. I had to kind of double back to it. But there is evidence of gray aliens in the Bible. That's the one that I did there, and it still received surprisingly a lot of strong support. I was blown away by it. But the main verse that I found, there's actually three biblical verses that would support this. I bring out two of them. The third one I've not brought out as of yet because it's more shocking than the first two. But the first one was in Hosea chapter 7. And I'm going to read to you English what it says here, and then I'll explain it. It says, Ephraim, he mixes himself with the peoples. Ephraim has become a cake not turned, and strangers have devoured his strength, and he doesn't know it. And yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, and he knows it not. And when you look at that, you sit there and you have to ask yourself, okay, strangers devours his strength, and he doesn't know it. And then it says gray hairs are here and there upon him, and he knows it not. And you have to ask, what do the two of those have in common in the first place? So if you read in English, you may just pass on by and just assume that everybody translated this thing with you in mind, and there was no problem. But in the Hebrew language, it doesn't say exactly that in that last sentence. It actually goes on, it would actually say the strangers in the plural, and the strangers, by the way, is the word from, it's called Zarim, and that can be fallen angels, as well as it's normally not looked at as Gentiles, the Goyim. And that's one of the reasons why that word Zarim is a little bit more interesting. But it says that they have eaten up his strength. And Behulo Yadea, which means, and he knows it not. Then it actually says in the next line, also the grays are here and there on him, and he does not know it. Sometimes you could have the word or a color and assume that it's speaking about hair. If you have the word Rosh in there with it, speaking of the head, we've got a couple of places biblically that speak about colors of hair, but it's more obvious it's about hair, even if they don't use the word hair, because it's adding the word head in there with it. In this case right here, though, what makes it more troubling is that the strangers, they devour his strength, and he doesn't know it. And then when you go to the next part, and also the grays, the word zarka literally means, it's like there is from one place to another. It's something that is moving around. And oddly enough, the grays have been identified, even in modern times, of that capability. It's like they're here, they're there, and you just don't know where they are. And what it is because they move in and out of the ether. And so when it says he does not know it, he's not able to perceive it. What's happening now if you take the two together and begin to really examine what it's speaking about, let's just say, and we'll use this as a conjecture, John. I don't want to say it as a doctrine. It's just as a conjecture. But if you look at it as a conjecture and you say to yourself, all right, let's say it is gray aliens. They're here and there, and he doesn't perceive it. And then you look at the sentence above it, the strangers are devouring his strength. They're eating him up. It would make more sense now that it becomes a entity that is doing this to him, because of the fact that his strength is being eaten. Literally, he's being fed upon, and he's not aware that there's an entity feeding upon him. Now, if you go back in history, we do have documented history, even in Egypt, in the hieroglyphics from Sir Henry, I believe it was, and the trove that they found inside of his house in a hidden wall behind his library. There were artifacts which also showed the carvings of the grays, and those are alleged to be the gray aliens in there. We can go back even to the 1600s, where there's actually documented writings about gray aliens that had appeared. And then, of course, you have Barry Chamish, the very famed Jewish journalist or Israeli journalist, that did not only did he write the book who killed or assassinated Yitzhak Rabin, very famous for that work there. But he was one of the investigative journalists in 1993 to 1995 that investigated the 7-foot-tall gray aliens that had visited Israel. And they had, and Barry is very meticulous. He was not into conspiracy theories, but they were very profound. The evidence was overwhelming that the people that were experiencing this, and they had 5 women that had that experienced these 7-foot-tall gray aliens. And of course, Barry in the book that he wrote about it, as well as in the articles that he wrote, he said that it was the return of the Nephilim. And they were gray aliens. And I'm thinking to myself, why would he call it the return of the Nephilim? And then in a lecture he gave, he said in Israel that we have 2 recorded times in history, before the flood and during the times of King David, that these same giants were here on the earth. So he's literally talking about a biblical time period, and I know where he's talking about. That's in Numbers 13, where it speaks about the Nephilim being here during the times of, well, you could call it the times of King David. That was actually during the times of Joshua, when Moses was still here, where we actually have that recorded. I think in the King James Bible, they call it giants, but in Hebrew, it's actually the Nephilim. So conjecture is that the Greys could have actually been these fallen ones. And of course, even in the case that happened in Israel in 1993 to 1995, the one thing that all five women had in common is they all ended up pregnant after the visitation of these aliens. And they were all 39 years of age, exactly, all five of the women were. And then they all ended up having babies that were no longer in their womb after 3 months of their pregnancies. They were just, the babies were gone. And there was no way for the doctors to explain it. So, and then Barry gets in there and he in his report, when he was investigating all this, he said it was more interesting to see how the government wanted to try to cover it up. So because the government just figured that people would never believe what they were hearing. And in fact, in one case of the alien, there was a 9-foot one that showed up. But it was at the chief. Let's see. I think he was a chief of police or something of a certain province. And at first they thought it was a prank call. And he says, "This is the chief of police here. No, there is a 9-foot alien at my door. Send the military." And of course they get there. The alien had already gone, but the footprints led out into the desert. And the footprints, the front of the foot was 32 centimeters into the soil, which they later estimated had to have weighed about a ton. And so the military was trying to figure out the government wanted to write up a story. They said, "We're going to say it was a camel." And then Barry said, "Okay, what are you going to do with the camel that has shoes? You're going to say the camel was wearing shoes when he left the footprints in the ground?" And so then they tried to come up with a different idea. But he was very well aware of how the government was trying to cover up this because they didn't know how to deal with the public on it. So just some thoughts to throw there. And I'll bring up Deuteronomy here in just a second.
Okay. Well, let's go take a couple of calls here while you're getting ready to bring that up. First, we have John in Texas. Good morning, John.
Hello, I have a question for Mr. Nyquist. I sent you an email with a 2008 documentary about Ho Chi Minh. Did you see that one?
No, I didn't watch it.
Have you ever seen it?
I'm familiar with Ho Chi Minh, but what about it is interesting?
Well, it's created by an anti-communist Vietnamese, for one thing, and it details his life and things about him, and some aspect they do not give the usual grandfatherly image that he was portrayed as, and even gives you and even doubts that he was a true nationalist.
No, he wasn't a true nationalist. He was a communist. But he, all these communists, Mao, Ho Chi Minh, Stalin, all of them, Castro, Kim Jong-un, they all pretend to be nationalists. They mix their nationalism. They learned that from Hitler. They mix nationalism with their communism, but they're communists. They've got to get a popular following, remember, and not everybody is able to read communist literature and understand it. So,
okay.
Yeah,
so
no.
This
attempt to depict, Mao was just an agrarian former, agrarian, reformer supposedly, but that was an image that he projected. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Ho Chi Minh. The communists wear these disguises, and the same thing for Castro. They want you to believe Castro wasn't a communist until the U.S. treated him badly. That's complete nonsense. U.S. State Department helped put Castro into power. We were keen on having Batista gone and having him in. He promptly aligned himself with the Soviet Union and eventually brought in nuclear missiles from the Soviet Union. So, what was he really? Right. He was a communist. I know a guy that worked in intelligence that worked in Colombia found evidence that Castro had been a communist from his earliest youth.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if the Soviet Union had been reformed and Western Europe had been attacked and overrun, took over Europe, would the countries that right now that they're aligning themselves in Africa be given occupation zones or ex-colonial countries like Vietnam and West? West Africa would be given occupation zones in France.
John, we need
Spain
to
park.
No, I don't think so. No.
We'll be right back after the break.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
As I said to those who joined the government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This hour is sponsored by the Energy Cleaner, available at thelibertyman.com. This is Tuesday Morning Roundtable. We have with us Jeff Nyquist. His website, jrnyquist.blog. His books for sale on Amazon. And Steve Ben-Noon. His website is israelinewslive.org. Looks like, gentlemen, our next caller is Tony in Florida. Good morning, Tony.
Yeah, good morning. This comment's for Stephen. Stephen Ben-Noon, I've watched a lot of your videos, and I just have to say, I think your teachings are repugnant. I think you are mistranslating the Word of God, and I can't figure out if you're a false prophet or if you're just a fool. And I think some of the things you say is demeaning to the Word of God, it's blasphemy, and it's not edifying the body of Christ at all. And also, Jeff, you know, you rail against conspiracy theories and stupidity, but yet you come on this program every Tuesday and listen to this pablum and never push back. And I think you're a hypocrite for that. And I'm really disgusted with some of the things that I hear Stephen say, and there's no pushback at all. So I'm not going to listen to the show anymore, and I'm going to encourage people not to listen to it. Jeff, you got some good insight, but when you sit, you know, when you sit with the pigs, you get slopped. Thanks.
Okay, well, In defense of Jeff, Jeff speaks about things that he has knowledge of, and Jeff, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you tend not to address things that you don't have much knowledge of, don't you, sir?
Well, I'm a guest on the show, and I've not been asked to talk about what these folks are talking about.
Right, right.
And I do occasionally push back. I ask questions.
Exactly.
But the thing is that I mean, he makes a point. Maybe I shouldn't be on here. You know.
Well, that's your choice, sir. Obviously, and of course, we respect that. Steve, you had some follow up that you needed to get your thoughts together on. Are you there yet? Ready to go?
Yeah, I do have that. And I'd have to say, in defense of Jeff, the caller undoubtedly has never paid attention to the times where we've got into some pretty heated debates ourselves right here, because Jeff is not afraid to stand up and speak his mind on what he believes in. But, you know, there again, I don't think Jeff speaks Hebrew, so Jeff normally doesn't go there. And the caller may not like what's being said or what I bring out, but the thing is when I translate for what it says, not for what translators have added in order to make it say what they believe it says. Unfortunately, if you've ever spent any time in a college of Hebrew studies, and I've done the Jerusalem Hebrew College, I've done the Christian College in Hebrew Studies, as well as other Hebrew studies that I've done over the years. And I have learned one thing from these professors: all different translated works, even their study materials of translated works, at least I had one professor at a Christian college that was brave enough to say it. He said that they're translated based on what their doctrinal beliefs are. So therefore, they will lean towards whatever translation supports a doctrinal belief. And undoubtedly, the caller doesn't know that, but whatever he believes in and subscribes to in his thinking, it's because of whatever doctrinal belief that those translators have put out. So what I do is, when I'm looking at these things, I'm trying to follow what the pattern is. That's why I call it a conjecture. It does not mean that it is absolute. It just means that it's a thought to be considered. And of course, that has nothing to do with prophecy. So to say you're a false prophet is ignorant to say that, because it has nothing to do with prophecy. But anyway, going on, John, the other one is over in Deuteronomy 32, going from verse 24 down to verse 26, says, "The wasting of hunger and the devouring of the fiery bolt and bitter destruction and the teeth of beast will I send upon them, with the venom of crawling things of the dust." That's actually uses the word there in Hebrew. It's not using the word nachash, a serpent, but we have the word for viper and et cetera, and worm. It's actually a worm that it's speaking of when it talks about the crawling things. It says, "Without shall the sword bereave and the chambers of terror, slaying both young man and virgin," and it's bitula, which is a virgin, gam bitula, also the virgin, "the suckling, with the man of gray." Now, they put on their hairs. The word hairs is not in the text whatsoever. So, "I thought I would make an end of them," it goes on to say, "and I would make their memory cease from among men." So the question you have to wonder here is there, there's a judgment that's being brought on, and that judgment is being brought on because of the evils that were done between the young man, the virgins, and literally it says, "with the man," with the gray man is actually how you would translate that, "with the gray man." What the heck does that mean then? So, you know, these are the things that I'm talking about. Like I said, I won't bring out the third one because it's very provocative, and I know it would stir up more strife than anybody could even handle at this point. But those two there, and especially with Hosea, the context of it certainly warrants, I think, more evaluation from scholars than just letting it pass over when it doesn't say anything about gray hair at all. If you were to go literally, I mean, we have like white hair, you know, in the Bible, where it talks about the men of white hair, and it does say white hair. And it uses the Hebrew word for hair, and Lavan, the Hebrew word for white, etc. This is over and over and over in the Bible. The hair is always put with it. So why in this case are we not getting the word hair put in there with the word gray? And that's my argument, because clearly if we use the word hair consistently in the scripture, but we get into these passages right here and the word hair is not included in there, then something has changed in the author's writing, whoever was going to penning. In this case here, you have Hosea and Moses in these writings. And these same men will write, well, not in the case of Hosea, but in the case of Moses, will use the word hair, and he does. When he's describing other issues of hair and color, he uses the word hair. But in these, in two instances that Moses writes about the gray, he doesn't say anything about the word hair. That's not consistent with his other writings.
All right. All right. We have Bob in our break coming up here. And call number is 512-248-8252. We'll be right back.
Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
I wish I was in the land of coffee and oat, and there I'm not forgot to look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on the frosty morning, look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. And I wish I was in Dixie, hooray, hooray. In Dixie's land I'll take my stand and live and die in Dixie away.
Back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. We have real estate for sale at my website, including the Log Lodge on Yoakum Road. The place just two doors down just sold in the last couple of weeks for $1 million with a very tiny house of 1,500 square feet. Of course, it got 78 acres. But the Log Lodge on Yoakum Road is what's featured in Better Homes and Gardens, a beautiful place. Four families could live there and not be too jammed up. Check out the Log Lodge on Yoakum Road at thelibertyman.com. This is Tuesday Morning Roundtable. We have with us Jeff Nyquist. His website is jrnyquist.blog. Books for sale at Amazon. Steve Benoon, his website is israelinewslive.org. And Steve, do you have any more comments on this Bible study before we go on to our next caller?
Yeah, if I could, John, I'd like to mention real quick for the caller that called in, we had a debate I wished I'd have gotten a little bit more involved in it, but my wife and Michael Brown ended up going head to head on this debate. And I forget exactly when this was. It's been a couple of years back. And I appreciate Michael Brown in a lot of different areas. But on this particular issue, we came on and we discussed his point that he put out publicly that the New Testament should be retranslated. And not that, I mean, Bible translations are always updated down through the years, constantly updated. They're always changing what they say, what they mean, et cetera. And Michael Brown was calling on this mainly because of the verbiage that puts the Pharisees in very negative light. And specifically because of scriptures like Matthew 23, where it calls the Pharisees a brood of vipers. In some translations, it's seed of vipers. In the Hebrew Bible, Hebrew Matthew, it does say seed of vipers. In some other translation, generation of vipers, etc. In other words, it's like there is a genealogical descendant to that. And of course, Jesus goes on to say that they were guilty of all the bloodshed all the way back to Cain and Abel, which that's why they talk. That's why he says that they were a generation of vipers, because he's taking it all the way back to that time period. Now, whether or not people want to consider that spiritual or physical, that's up to them. I'm not here to debate that issue. But the point is that It is not uncommon as people dive into the original languages that the text is written in to try to see what it actually says. But in that case, they're going to make sure if they retranslate it to where future generations will never know the truth. And they're doing this because they want you to follow the rabbinical teachings of today, and they're trying to say that the law is going to come out of Jerusalem, and that Jesus never fulfilled that, and so therefore you are to follow under the teachings of the rabbis of today. And Jesus clearly, through the entire New Testament, warns about that. In fact, he said when they make proselytes, he said they make them twofold more the child of hell than they are themselves. That's another verbiage they want to change. They don't want you knowing that he taught that way. Because all those teachings that Jesus did like that hinders the objection or the objective that they have in being able to change the minds of the world, that they're the ones with the true light, and that Jesus was just a good old boy that came along. And after all, he really was a Jewish guy, and you don't really know what he meant. I'm actually part of a group of rabbinical teachers that actually openly discuss this on a regular basis, and all right. I do is just sit there and listen to what they say. But I'm like, this is going to become an epidemic in the very near future, and Christianity is really going to lose what the truth was that Jesus gave to begin with, and it's going to go out the door into this new translation if they get their way.
Amazing. Well, thank you, Steve. Our next caller is Dave in Texas. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I had a question. It's language related because I'm not so knowledgeable of the Hebrew language. I had a person try to tell me that the word NASA, as in NASA, in Hebrew means to deceive. Now, I'm curious, is that true? Have you heard that? Do you know that, Steve Benoon?
Let me see if I can find, because a lot of times when we get pronunciations, especially if you're using a transliteration, I need to see exactly what that Hebrew word is. So if you give me a minute, I'm going to look real quick and see if I can find out what the real Hebrew version of that word is real quick.
Okay, while you do that, let me tell you what I looked up. The person was telling me it came out of Strong's Concordance, so I looked that up. And really, there's a couple different takes on it. There is one take that says it means to deceive or something of that nature, but then there were other translations that did not say that, did not agree with that interpretation or translation. And the other point I wanted to make was the gentleman who called while you're looking this up, and he was pretty hard on you, Steve. If you're going to be hard on somebody and make accusations, I think you have to make some specific accusations. If you're going to point something out, you have to be specific in what you're pointing out, as opposed to just saying, you know, you do this or you do that, which discredits your argument and you're blaspheming the Bible and Christianity and et cetera. If you can't make any specific mentions, then I think that makes his case even weaker.
Could you share with me, do you happen to remember the Strong's number? Because I know the word deceive is not what I'm hearing as far as in English. Do you have a Strong concordance number that I can look at real quick?
No, I do not, but I thought it was one of those tales that's out there, one of the things that people like to throw out that's not necessarily true. And I like to get to the
Bible
bottom
verse, even where maybe where they were taking it from.
No, I don't. I just assume that, you know, if he said it's a word, you can look up a word, a Hebrew word that's NASA, and I know Hebrew does not have particular spellings like that. The Hebrew alphabet is not like our alphabet. So
okay, I know what word it is now. Okay, it's Nasa is what it's coming from. It's really what it is in Hebrew, the spelling. There's so many different ways you can spell the S sound, and so you have to really kind of know where you're going with on that. And that's more to seduce is what it is. It's also where the word beguile comes from, is from that. So, yes, I know, now I know what you're talking about. So, so your question was, could it mean deceive would be the question, I guess, that we're looking at. And I guess you could put it as deceive. It wouldn't hurt to say that. Beguile, though, is a word that's actually the word that's used in Genesis, too, by the way, when the serpent is talking, or when Eve says that the serpent beguiled her or seduced her. You know, there's, like I said, it can be used either way. Or you could say the word deceive, but it's not the word deceive. No, it's not. Technically, it's not the word we would use for deceive, although it, you know, it could be translated that way, because in reality, it's not much different than to say beguile or deceive either way. It just depends on how you're going to take it after that point.
Well, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it. I really enjoy the show, too. Thanks, guys.
Okay, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Our next caller is Mike in Kentucky. Good morning, Mike. Looks like Mike's gone.
I'm there.
Well,
now
there
I'm here. Am I here now? I heard a blast of dial tone.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I couldn't hear anything there for a second after a big blast of dial tone. So I was trying to look this up. I've got it somewhere, and I did a little study on it. And a lot of people don't realize that they've lost it. Not in 40 years, just the common Bible that people use has changed extensively. My mother had a King James. It had all the inflection marks and italics and everything, and you could go to the front and you could read the guide for the traditional way that they put conventions in there, the difference between L-O-R-D in all capital letters versus capital L-O-R-D, you know. And the Scofield Reference Bible, that guy for 24 years taught a seminar after his Bible became, I guess, promoted by whoever promoted it, Cyrus Scofield. But you go back and look at the Latin for just the word genos and genoa versus like a type or kind, a genotype, versus a tribe, you know, versus a generation, which can be, you know, anywhere from Abraham supposedly lived 175 years of, if it was our years and our days, which I have doubts about that, or 40 years, as Hebrews 3, I think, mentions, the wandering in the wilderness. To put it in context, a generation would be 40 years. So when he flipped around some of those meanings in the Scofield Reference Bible, that started really polluting things for, you know, like this generation will not pass away. a lot of people try to say that means, well, that means the Jews won't pass away. And so we have this dispensationalism where the 70th week of Daniel has been suspended for 2,000 years. and yet, you know, that supposedly those prophecies were sealed versus the book of Revelation was not sealed. I mean, it really harms the credibility, I think, for the Bible. But you try to point this out to people, and they're like, well, you can't add or take away from the Bible, but yet King James did put words in. One of the ominous ones, I think, is in Timothy, where the words "and commanding" was added there in the doctrine of devils. Have you looked at that? Where the words "and commanding" was there?
I didn't know about that one there, but in regards to Schofield, I agree with you on that as well. A lot of people, if they just take and do some very serious research about Schofield, how he came to be, what his background was, who brought him in to do the Schofield Bible, as it were, it would really be an eye-opener. And that's something that has been...
The reason I brought this up, because you're talking about gray. And in Solomon, Song of Solomon, it talks about fair, you know. There's a lot of stuff in there. People say, well, that book's not even scripture, you know. But fair can mean light, complected. And I've heard this also from the Christian Identity Movement, trying to point toward all the references to, like, able to show blood in the face means that you can blush, so you'd have to be fair complected to be able to show shame. If you look at the definitions of Adam in the Oxford Unabridged Dictionary, it makes reference to that, able to show blood in the face. So I have to wonder, though, when you study things that where the Bible talks about weather, and you get hints there in the story of Noah's flood, if we had an atmosphere that was so thick that you could have two-foot-wide dragonflies able to fly and breathe, or even pterodactyls, I always like to have fun with people and say, so which animal is it that's mythical on the Chinese calendar again? Are you sure? So would we even have dark-complected people if we had an atmosphere so thick that they wouldn't be able to make vitamin D in our skin? You go back, whatever, 2,800 years. When would we say that ham might have been made dark for going to the south? 4,000 years ago? I just wonder about that, because there's... You know, go not unto this strange woman, and we're talking about seeds and all this sort of stuff, genotypes, generation. Seems like there's a lot of, quote, racism in the Bible that can't be ignored, and I don't see it as a bad thing. I think we have to look at it to understand what we're looking at in context. Do we not?
I agree with you, and that you really brought up some very interesting points that makes me want to look even deeper as well, especially in the idea of the atmosphere and things, because by no means, it doesn't matter how many years you've spent studying a language and studying these things, there's always something new that comes up. And so,
if you look at NASA's depiction of the oceans, and you can find this, there's a way to simulate, by simulation, drop the levels of the oceans down, and you can see there's no missing land. It has all drifted apart. All of the mid-Atlantic, mid-ocean ridges and things like that, it points to where all the land fit together. How long ago was that? And you look at things like marsupials that, you know, we have in America, supposedly a 60-million-year-old possum, a living fossil. Well, the maps that science puts out denies this with their bias. They try to say that marsupials went through South America across Antarctica into Australia. But if you fold up those lands and you put them together, the supposedly oldest marsupial is in Eastern China, Well, Eastern China was right up against Central America and Australia when you fold up all those continents onto a smaller planet. So modern science is doing this. They're biasing their depictions of things just in a map. You know, so you've got 60-million-year-old crocodiles, 60-million-year-old living fossils, whatever they may be, a fish or all this sort of stuff. When you look back at that, they're not looking for how the Bible could be possible. They're looking to disprove it, which is not science. It's an agenda. But anyway, I'll let you go.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Mike. We appreciate it. Mike always has some interesting comments, doesn't he, Steve?
He does that, and that, you know, but it's so true, though, John, what he's talking about. You know, if you take the Colburn, and I call the Colburn a document because I don't like to consider it a biblical reference, but the Colburn itself seems to indicate that the passing of Planet X ripped apart continents at that time. It doesn't really go into just how much, how far, or anything like that. So it could have been a time even previous to that. It could be multiple passings over time. And that's something that we've got to consider.
Here's our last break. We're going to take a moment.
Home is where the hearth is. In days gone by, the hearth was the center of the home, a social place where the family would come together to spend time and cook. The warmth of the Liberator rocket stove makes a house feel like a home. So, welcome home. 100% American-made, the Liberator rocket stove heats for a fraction of the cost of other methods. Your home can be safely heated with firewood or wood pellets. The Liberator rocket heater is waiting to be part of your home. This unit ships directly to your door, or you can save $300 with a factory pickup. To order, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Gentlemen, Jeff, you want to give us your summary for the day, and we'll wrap it up with Steve. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I only spoke today about radical stupidity, but it goes back. Erich Verglund, the German-American philosopher, made the comment that the ancient Greeks saw in man the rational animal reasoning. And the Hebrew scriptures that you've been talking about, man is the creature to whom God speaks, to whom God's word is given. And so man has the spiritual and he has the reason. And I think that the, both of these things have been taken away progressively over the last 500 years. We have had a progressive unreason, literalizing of things and dogmatizing of things until we have political ideology dogmatizing, and we've had 400 or 500 years of warfare over ideas, and our ideas are becoming progressively degenerate. So that's my comment.
All right, thank you. Steve, you're wrap it up, your summary, please.
You know, I kind of agree with Jeff on that. It is true, very much so, and probably even more years than that, than the 500 over the wars. And that's where it really becomes very difficult, is because it has become dogma. It has become that the world is fighting over religious beliefs and who's going to dominate based on who's right, who's wrong, things like that. And so it really gets skewed. And then if you're there just, you know, trying your best to try to get to the bottom of what's been taken away or what's been hidden, even in the fact that, I mean, how many books do we have that were never canonized, and who decided what got canonized and what did not? I mean, and even with what I have access to, there's still so many more that we don't have access to. And Paul made that clear. If the books could be written, that would not, they would go up to heaven, I believe is what he says. So yeah, it is a trouble, and people still are warring over it. And we can see it even from the caller today. You know, he's very fundamentalist in the way he believes. And I respect that. I don't have a problem with the way he believes. You know, but we shouldn't war with each other just because we have different ideology over it. You know, if you don't agree with somebody, then just tell them, hey, I don't agree with you. And then we just move on.
Roger that. Okay. Well, thank you, Steve and Jeff. As always, we look forward to having you back next Tuesday, gentlemen.
Thank you.
And Jeff, see you tomorrow morning. All right. What a day. We have a great lineup tomorrow, as always, and Thursday and Friday. If you like what you hear at Republic Broadcasting, please consider making a donation. Go to the RBN website, make your donation, and help pay for the electricity, the equipment, the payrolls, and so forth. That would be very helpful. And okay, that's it for the day. Get your medical supplies, your engine cleaner, your essential oils. And never ever give up, guys. Please have a fun, safe, productive day. And God bless the beautiful state of Missouri I get to live in, the big, beautiful state of Texas. And Lord, please, God bless the United States of America.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.